The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise
you may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Where did you get that? It's a question I find myself asking a child in my home often, because they have something that they probably should not have. There they are, happy with whatever they have in front of them. But in these instances, what they have does not belong to them. There's a sibling in another room upset that they no longer have what makes them happy. But that doesn't seem to bother the one who has the object or the toy that is bringing them joy in the moment right now. Where did you get that? You think I get an answer? They're smart. They stonewall. And when they start talking, they make excuses how they were really entitled to have what they have now, even if it came at the expense of their sibling. Now, it might not surprise you, but each child in our home has plenty of toys each. But would it surprise you that they love what they don't have? There's plenty to share and there's plenty to spare. But if we can get all that we want, and if we can get away with it, why not do it? Now, I'll be the first to say that my children can be a brood of vipers. And so can all of us be a brood of vipers. And then we are called to bear fruits of repentance. In our gospel lesson today, the rich are called out because if they have clothing or food to spare, they should share it. Tax collectors collecting more than what was due should stop. Soldiers routinely threatening and falsely accusing others, extorting people, need to stop. And here we find ourselves in our current context and lives. There's a tension that we hold. The power that we might have in our communities. We might have access to the many things that others lack. And then certainly in our society, even with that reality confronting us, having access to more things and knowing that our neighbor lacks those things, we could just go on with our lives and ignore the needs of our neighbors. Rather than loving God and our neighbor, we stonewall them with our indifference. We don't have to be actively engaged in that behavior of corruption, by the way. What we hear in the gospel lesson from Luke is that there are people who are engaged in those corrupt practices, but that creates a system of injustice. That creates then a status quo. And that's the way the system works. And we become indifferent to it. We become complacent to it. And if we're somehow, even albeit indirectly, benefiting from it, why disrupt that system? In fact, if we're not actively engaged in such corrupt behavior, I believe it's easy to be blind to that reality of the injustice that's around us and to just continue to go on with our lives. But see, this has an impact not just on our neighbor, but ourselves. If you noticed our lessons up until the gospel, a lot of it was about joy, rejoicing, right? And then we get to the gospel and John the Baptist saying, "You brood of vipers." Something might seem off, but we can't really know and experience the joy of the Lord if we're still attached to our sin and brokenness, if we're still attached to the self-centeredness in believing that we are free when we're really captive to that sin and brokenness in ourselves and in the world. Now, John is speaking about judgment in our gospel lesson. Judgment leads us to freedom in God, because where there is judgment, there is repentance. And where there is repentance, there is forgiveness. And then we are truly free in the love of God that we know in Jesus Christ. And when we are free, there are those instances in which we're unable to look back. You ever been made aware of something and you can no longer see it any other way anymore? You can't go back to how it was once something has been revealed to you, once your mind and your heart has been opened to something new. You can't turn back anymore. There is a freedom that we have in Christ, and it starts with that judgment. And it can be painful, it can be a struggle, but once our eyes are opened, we know we are better for it. And I know that word of judgment in the gospel lesson comes with a scary image, the image of that chaff burning in the unquenchable fire. But there is also good news with that, because the Holy Spirit also brings that image of fire. Remember, in our gospel lesson, it ends on good news, that John preached to them many other exhortations, but he also preached the good news. He preached the good news of the one more powerful than him who is coming. He preached the good news of that one more powerful than him who is coming, and that we know that in him death would not contain him, that sin would no longer have power over him. So that judgmental fire that John speaks is a purifying fire. The fire from the Holy Spirit is a purifying fire that fashions something new in us and within us. So as Christ comes to burn away our sin, to take on our sin, we become righteous through him. This is the good news that sets us free. It's a cleansing fire, because we are no longer caught up in the status quo. We are no longer caught up in looking out only for ourselves and being blinded to the needs of our neighbor. We're no longer caught up in the spirit that my children find themselves in, scheming to take what is theirs from their sibling, or what adults do in our world in using their positions to take advantage of others. For our trust is in the powerful one, Jesus Christ, who dwells among us and who loves us unconditionally. Our Lord loved us as a brood of vipers, and loved us so much that through his sacrificial love on the cross, we would become children of God. We would go from a brood of vipers to beloved children of God. And now we can repent when we are blinded to the needs of our neighbor. We can repent when we realize that we have sinned against our neighbor directly or indirectly. We can repent, we can turn to Christ, who makes us new and reminds us that we're part of a new creation sent forth with a cleansing fire, now fired up to share the good news and love of Jesus in word and deed. So if we're going to be a people of joy, then it needs to be a joy for the whole world. It needs to be a joy that truly frees and includes all people. And when we live into the new creation, and in those instances, when I ask a child in my home, where did you get that? They can then tell me, well, so-and-so shared it with them. It's in those moments where there's no stonewalling. No one's unhappy. No one's lost something. Nothing's been done unfairly or taken away from them. They've realized that what they have been given has been given to them in abundance, and there's plenty for all involved. Once we realize that as a brood of vipers, and we can then function as children of God, we all share out of our abundance. It's all of us on a micro level, that image I give with my children fighting and then able to then realize, repent, and share and rejoice in all that they have. Because we too, when realizing that all that we have is because of God, and that God desires to care for our neighbor and for us to give of ourselves as Christ loved us, to love others as Jesus loved us sacrificially, when people ask us, where did you get that? You can say, I got this from God, who made it possible for me to obtain this, and I'm sharing it with you. You can freely share the good news in saying that I got my faith from God, to know Him and to love Him, that God has given me clarity to see people in need around me and the ability to serve them and love them with the love of Jesus, by sharing with them the love of Jesus. Now, this will not always be easy. It would have been easy for tax collectors listening to John the Baptist and saying, okay, I'm no longer going to take more than what I should take. Or a soldier listening to John the Baptist and saying, okay, I'm no longer going to extort people. Because you know who's going to have a problem with that? Other tax collectors and other soldiers. They're going to be judged harshly. They're going to be put in difficult situations, whether they follow the way of God or the broken ways of the world. Their actions, if they took John's words seriously, would have drastically disrupted the system and the status quo, and I can only imagine what it would have cost them. But that is the way of Jesus that ultimately leads us to the cross, but then also leads us to the empty tomb, where we find our hope and our salvation for the world. For allowing ourselves to succumb to the fiery judgment of Christ and to be made new through that process, we are now shaped to be bearers of good news. And that transformation means that our lives are going to be lives of generosity, ensuring that there's fairness and respect in the world, and that the power we hold in this world is not to be abused. Living that way will cause the world at times to judge us, and in some cases, judge us harshly. But we are made new. We are children of God sent forth with joy to share good news and the love of Jesus in word and deed because of who we are and whose we are. Thanks be to God. Amen.